Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the IDP Show. I'm your host, Josh Raymer, joined in the Soad Shack tonight. On my right, Adam Markham. On my left, Bobby Reynolds. Gentlemen, how are we this evening?
Doing very well, Josh. Pleasure to be here with you guys.
Pleasure to have you, Addy.
We definitely haven't recorded anything with John Macri yet.
Nope. This is all new right here.
All fresh. This is a very fresh interaction that we have not seen each other for the past 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. It is not 10:45 at night.
It's not 10:45 at night at all right now.
It's organic.
But regardless of what time it is or what may or may not have happened before this recording started, we are happy you all are here. We are going to be doing a very fun episode tonight looking at the round two of IDP free agency. We're going to touch on some of the names, and there were quite a few, and I feel like these will be some of your later values in drafts. And then in the back half of the episode, as we alluded to, we are going to do a 2023 rookie redraft, four rounds, one QB, PPR, big three, scoring, start 11 offense and defense, rookie redraft with John Macri. So should be a lot of fun. But boys, before we get to the redraft, let's talk about this second wave of free agency. We recorded last Tuesday. Then Adam and I were on with John Macri talking about some other landing spots. But even since Thursday, there have been quite a few big deals go down, and not the caliber of players that we saw the first few days of the legal tampering period and the start of free agency, but still some names that we want to cover. So what we're going to do tonight is kind of whip through the positions, and then we'll highlight a few players that we want to talk about. So starting on the defensive line, boys, Eric Armstead got a nice three-year, $51 million deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Sheldon Rankins signs with the Bengals, 2 years, $24.5 million. DJ Reader, Lions, 2 years, $22 million deal. A'shaun Robinson, Panthers, 3 years, $21.5 million. DJ Wicket, DJ Wanham signs with the Panthers, 2 years, $14.5 million deal. This just went down today. Chase Young signed with the Saints, 1 year, $13 million, fully guaranteed. Oh, and he's having neck surgery, maybe back for training camp. Oh. Maybe not. We'll see. Anthony Jennings re-signed with the Patriots, 3 years, $12 million. Javon Kinlaw, Jets, 1 year, $7.25 million. Kalavon Chaisson, there's a throwback, signs with the Panthers, 1 year, $5 million deal. Dante Fowler, Addy, we talked a lot about him, lands with the Commanders, 1 year, $3.25 million. And then Josh Uche re-signed with the Patriots, 1 year, $3 million deal. Addy, a lot of like interior defensive line guys and kind of second and third and fourth tier edge rushers. But who do you want to call out from this group to start with?
I guess let's start with Chase Young. What was it you said? He's going to have surgery?
Yes, he is having neck surgery. Should be back for training camp, maybe? Question mark.
Okay. Well,
so
hopefully that goes okay.
Very typical Chase Young fashion. Gets the money and then pieces out. Apparently teams knew about this when they were bidding, so it probably helps explain why it took him a little bit to find a suitor. But good job of his agent getting him $13 million fully guaranteed when he's going under the knife.
Yeah, teams will bet on that upside. We saw it last year with Marcus Davenport, very similar type deal. I mean, this is a pretty good landing spot for Chase Young, I think. You know, that's a pretty good defensive line. You got Carl Granderson there. Brian Brisee's up and coming. Cam Jordan's getting older. So, I mean, they could fit Chase Young on this line just fine, I think. He has been really bad, though. 8.6 points per game last season, was DL61. He is going around like round 10, 11 right now on these IDP-only best balls, which is not bad. But I imagine it'll tick up a little bit, and I don't know.
I think I'm just out.
I think I am as well.
I don't think I want to go back down the Chase Young rabbit hole once again. We had it with the Commanders, looked okay, 49ers, oh, this should be good. You know, traded a third-round pick for him, I believe, and now he's with the Saints. Now there's this neck surgery. So it's just like one thing after another with Chase Young, and just leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah, and it also is like, does this guy love it anymore? You know, like is he really want it? You know, because, I mean, he said the interview I saw, like, he wanted to go to a winning culture. It's like, ah, dude, I think he just wanted the $13 million.
Yeah, you just were playing for a team that was in the Super Bowl, bro.
Yeah, and where is New Orleans getting this money?
I don't know. Just some very, very – applaud their bookkeeping efforts, Bobo, because unlike the – who was it that got smacked? I think it was actually the Niners who got smacked. Did you see this? They had an accounting error that's going to cost them a couple of draft picks.
Wow.
Because it underreported like their player compensation or something. So somebody's getting fired in that organization, I feel like. But they need the Saints cap specialist, because every year they do this. They kick the can down the road to create $13 million to give to neck surgery Chase Young. So, Baba, who do you want to call out from this group?
Is nobody an answer?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of gross. You know, this is a lot of the... better for the NFL, not so much for IDP type guys. I like Eric Armstead, and that's a great deal for him. 3 years, $51 million is a lot of money.
I was going to say, that's the guy I wanted to call out, because the money tells me
that's crazy.
Eric Armstead is going to be getting some run. And, Addy, you always talk about hit a double in kind of those mid to late rounds. I think Eric Armstead's a nice little target now.
It's just interesting to me, like, is Eric Armstead going to play any better with Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker than he did with Nick Bosa and whoever else was there? Probably not.
He's definitely one of those better real-life players, not a good fantasy asset.
Yeah.
It's funny. He finished 2023 as DL-122, going as DL-121. Wow. So they've got him just nailed right where he finished. Yeah, I think you mentioned that he Chase Young, yeah. Going as the DL-61 right now, finished as the DL-82 in 2023. So
I was kind of bummed.
I don't think so.
I was kind of bummed that Uche signed with the Patriots again for one year.
And Anthony Jennings as well.
Yep. And then, you know, I guess
that tells me those guys like that new defensive-minded head coach in Gerard Mayo.
Yeah.
Because Uche said he turned down a lot more money to come back to the Patriots.
I don't know if that was smart. I don't know if that was smart. Unless Uche can, you know, 15 tackles, 3 sacks last year is not a great year, so maybe we see a better year from Uche. He showed some signs. He just didn't really get a lot of PT. I think the answer here of the guy that we kind of need to talk to is Adam's boy, Dante Fowler. Signs there with the Commanders. His 23 finish DL-138, which is not great. 5.8 points per game, but he did have 4 sacks. He had 5 TFLs on the year, and I think he's going to get some run there for the Commanders. He's going to get some playing time. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. I think prior to them signing Dorrance Armstrong, it was basically just Casey Tuhill, and they do still have Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne, who are better than, you know, they're better than above average defensive tackles. So Fowler's probably going to see more playing time than he has in the last couple years.
And, I mean, it's Dan Quinn. This is a former Cowboys DC. You see 2 Cowboys edge rushers leave and come to Washington. So I think he's just going to run Dante Fowler and Dorrance Armstrong out there and just let her rip.
I think so. I mean, yeah, it's not a really scary rotation. You know, it's KJ Henry, and then they brought in Clelin Ferrell too, I believe.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, we could see Dante Fowler have a nice little breakout.
Yeah, and going
10
late.
10-year breakout, I guess.
Yeah, 10th-year breakout, the one we always waited for. Mm-hmm. Going as DL-129. So,
wow,
great late target. You don't have to pay up for this guy.
Probably
going to have opportunity.
Probably also need to mention DJ Wonnum. He was really, really good last year, averaged 13 points per game. That was DL-36. And he's going to have loads of opportunity there in Carolina.
Talk about an empty room.
Right.
I mean, my God,
Brian
who's
Burns
there?
Brian Burns gone, Gross Matos gone, Frankie Louvu gone. The only thing that does give me a little bit of pause with Wonnum is he is recovering from a quad injury, a fully torn quad, which I didn't realize how bad of an injury that was until our friend Jacob did that.
Yes, it's disgusting.
It is disgusting, and it is a very serious injury. So I don't really expect, want him to have a great season next year, at least early on. I think he's going to be recovering from that torn quad. But that second year, that contract could be pretty solid. Either way, I think he's a good best ball value. You don't got to pay too much for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Let's move to linebacker, though. A very, I would say, fun, kind of spicy group here. Definitely a lot spicier than what we had on the defensive line side of things. So let's kind of buzz through these, and we'll hit some guys y'all want to talk about. Jerome Baker and Tyrell Dotson both signed with the Seahawks. 1 year, $7 million for Baker. 1 year, $4.2 million for Dotson. Devin White finally finds a home. 1 year deal with the Eagles, $4 million. Eric Kendricks did not go to the 49ers, changes his mind, goes to the Cowboys. 1 year, $3 million. Denzel Perryman back with the Chargers. 1 year, $3 million as well. Cody Barton goes to the Broncos. 1 year, $2.5 million. Oren Burks, we mentioned him as a little bit of a sleeper, also signed with the Eagles. 1 year, $1.5 million. Devondre Campbell, after Eric Kendricks changed his mind. The 49ers still needed someone. I think Joey the Tooth actually called this in our Slack. He said, bring over Devondre Campbell. And that happens. 1 year deal for Campbell to go to the 49ers. Nicholas Morrow signs with the Bills. 1 year deal. Devin Bush signs with the Browns on a 1 year deal as well. So again, not a lot of like big name guys, but Addy, I think there could be some nice value in this group. Who do you want to talk about first?
I guess let's start with the top of the list, Jerome Baker and Tyrell Dotson. Tyrell Dotson's going to get a lot of buzz because PFF-wise, he graded out very, very well last year. 90.2 overall PFF grade, 88.4 coverage grade. But after doing some digging around, a lot of people said that Tyrell Dotson did a lot of just covering of running backs and covered the flats. Didn't really have to do a lot of stuff in coverage outside of that. So I wouldn't look too much into that coverage grade. I think Jerome Baker actually is probably the better coverage linebacker there. We've actually seen it, 4 to 5 years at this point, 74.4 overall coverage grade last year. Jerome Baker just, he's always had that big play upside, always right around 100 tackles on the season. Like that's very useful. I think we could see Jerome Baker have the best season of his career. But Tyrell Dotson also, he's a fine piece. It could work out. I just worry that, maybe they potentially bring someone else in or they draft somebody.
I think they're going to draft someone.
Yeah. And if that's the case, I feel like right now it's Jerome Baker, LB1, Tyrell Dotson, LB2. And so that LB2 is always a risk.
And the ADP reflects that right now. Yeah. LB65 for Jerome Baker, LB82 for Tyrell Dotson.
Both those will tick up now though.
I agree, yes.
Until someone comes in, of course.
Yes, I'd say the draft, you'll see a slight tick up, and then the draft, especially if they grab someone early.
And the ones I've, the best balls I've done recently, the two I've done post-free agency, both these guys are going around the same time. Like, usually Jerome Baker goes round 12, 13, and then Dotson's going like 14, 15.
Yeah, I think I'd just rather have the value of the two, personally. I see these guys as, I definitely have Baker higher in the pecking order. But
yeah, Baker's given us, 4 or 5 years of really, really underrated production.
Honestly. I would agree. Underrated. Bobo, Devin White finds a home. We mentioned the Eagles said they were going to upgrade this linebacker room one way or the other. They go with Devin White and Oren Burks. What do you think of the additions alongside N'Kobe Dean?
I think it could be not great. I think this is going to be a lot of people thinking, oh, wow, Devin White could actually turn it around, because they're going to think the Eagles are a good team, and they could maybe pull the best out of Devin White. But I think that could be a little bit of fool's gold. Look at the last two guys that they brought in last year, Zach Cunningham, Shaq Leonard. What were those guys? They were terrible linebackers in the NFL that started to fade later on in their career, and they just brought them in as just kind of vet pieces to just kind of exist. Now, what do we have? We have Devin White. We've also got Oren Burks. And not to mention that N'Kobe Dean is still there. I don't know what any of this means, to be honest with you. I don't know if they just feel discouraged about N'Kobe Dean. I don't know if they see some optimism maybe here from Devin White. I think it's a muddy mess. If you're, looking at ADP and looking at value right now, I'm really not that interested in anybody. I don't know how you guys feel.
Yeah, I haven't drafted any Eagle linebackers.
But don't you feel like in Dynasty, this is a little bit of a cracked window to still sell Devin White?
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be
yes.
somebody optimistic about this.
Yes. Yeah, sell Devin White and give me Oren Burks or, hell, N'Kobe Dean. Who do you think goes higher in ADP now?
Devin White.
I think so, too. And I'd give me N'Kobe Dean all day. I think he's going to be the guy. Now, can he stay healthy?
Do you have it pulled up, ADP?
Yeah, I can pull up.
N'Kobe Dean's still going to be pretty high, though, I'd say.
Yeah, Devin White is LB31 as of right now by
ADP. Lowest he's ever been.
I was going to say. But do you want him as your LB3? I don't.
Yeah.
That feels like a rug pull situation waiting to happen.
And Bob's right. I mean, it does feel like Philly's getting a little cute thinking, oh, we can change these guys. We can fix these guys.
Howie, I usually like what Howie Roseman does, but this just feels a little too cute thinking, oh, we'll just grab a third, fourth stringer from San Francisco, a guy that we like as a value. But on the NFL field, are you really feeling comfortable rolling out Devin White, Oren Burks, and N'Kobe Dean when your linebackers were a weakness of that team last year? I don't know. This did not feel like the way to address this position, personally. So I wanted to look up N'Kobe Dean as well. He is LB32, so they are literally back-to-back in ADP. Wow.
Still don't want N'Kobe Dean at that price.
Yeah me either.
There's just so many other nice linebackers around there. Look, read some of the other ones around that.
So let's see here. We have Eric Kendricks right after that, Jamin Davis, Kaiser White,
yes,
Alex Anzalone,
yes,
EJ Speed,
yes.
Matt Milano.
Yeah, maybe.
Jermaine Pratt.
Maybe, yeah.
Juwan Bentley. Blake Cashman.
Yes.
Leo Chenal. Drew Sanders. Josie Jewell.
See, some of this ADP is going to look a lot different.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Post, I mean, yeah.
This is just five drafts.
Five drafts.
And this is a little pre-free agency,
right,
too.
So this is a peek into pre-free agency. We'll do an update.
Leo Chenal obviously saw his value plummet. So did Drew Sanders. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll do an update here probably in the next month or so to see how the ADP is shaken out, because I think it's an interesting window right now because it's like this post-free agency bump, and then I think even if we're a little cooler on rookie linebackers overall, that is going to have some effect on the ADP, especially if, you know, Peyton Wilson lands in a good spot, Edgerrin Cooper lands in a good spot, Junior Colson, all these rookie linebackers coming in.
And even some of these vets, I mean, Eric Kendricks with LVE retiring, I mean, what could his ADP do? You know, he averaged 14 points per game last year. His 23 finish was the LB23. I feel like a lot of people are going to be really in on Eric Kendricks because of the landing spot. I think it's still a little bit muddy there with who's the LB coming off injury that's back?
Marion Overshown.
I think he might get a little PT, and then there's also still Damone Clark. So I'm not shooing in Kendricks to just like the full-time role just yet.
Got Zimmer now, there now, though, too.
That's true.
Who knows Kendricks? Yeah, I'd say Kendricks is the LB1.
He's a hard ass.
Yeah, I just didn't think Kendricks looked great last year.
Oh, he
did. I thought he looked like he was clearly taking a step back.
He's washed.
I don't know. I just see a lot of sell windows out of these guys right now.
Yeah, so who are the values that you actually like, Addy? Denzel Perryman go back to the Chargers is kind of
interesting. Yeah, I like that quite a bit. Cody Barton's pretty nice. I mean, you know, landing there in Denver alongside Alex Singleton. I mean, he could rack up the tackles again. I think he's gone over 100 tackles, like, what, 3 years in a row?
He's not a great player, but he has an opportunity to be an LB2.
Yeah.
He's sliding into the Josie Jewell role. I think this is like a poor man's Josie Jewell. So I think you could have done a lot worse for Cody Barton.
Yeah.
Devondre Campbell as probably the starting linebacker alongside Fred Warner, because I don't think Dre Greenlaw, if he sticks around there in San Francisco, is going to be healthy to start the season.
No way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a nine-month recovery typically from Achilles, which puts you at like early November. So I just don't think there's any possible chance that Greenlaw starts the season. So, you know, Devondre Campbell in the Greenlaw role is pretty nice.
Yeah. I don't know if he's Greenlaw, though. He's a little washed himself. So I just wonder if we're going to actually see them give him 100% of the snaps, you know? I feel like we could see, like, 70 to 80.
Maybe some more safeties on the field, potentially.
But you know what San Fran normally does is usually give those two linebackers the run. So, but, yeah, I mean, it was nice to see some of these guys get spots where they, you know, will have opportunity again.
Nicholas Morrow with the Bills feels like one of those, like, classic week 6, Milano's down with a, you know, tweaked hammy or something. And
it makes you also wonder, like, is Milano's recovery coming along slow? Like, mm-hmm. is that an issue? It was a major injury. It was ACL plus femur, right?
Yep.
So
very bad.
You never know.
It is interesting, though, because you look at the money for both of these guys. Well, the Bills were so cash-strapped, but Dotson on a one-year $4.2 million deal, and they decide to go bring in Morrow on a one-year deal. I don't have the contract details, but it's like, why didn't they just keep Tyrell Dotson in the building?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if Milano's not coming along. But it just seems like a cash-saving move, honestly. Mm-hmm. So I think Devin Bush with the Browns, as Mike pointed out in Slack, probably a LB3. I agree with him. I think Hicks is probably going to be the green dot with JOK kind of just roaming the field, kind of creating.
Oh, yeah, we didn't mention Jordan Hicks, did we?
I think we talked about him maybe at the end of last week's episode. But, yeah, lands in Cleveland there. So now you're Cleveland linebacking room, Jordan Hicks, JOK, and Devin Bush.
Yeah, so Jordan Hicks is going to ball. He's going to be the value of the group.
Yep.
I'm not going to have any of JOK now.
JOK is going – he's going way too high.
Yeah.
He is LB17 right now. So that's not awful.
I'm fine with it, but now it's like I'd rather – I'm
but Hicks is LB56.
Yeah. And he'll be 40 to 45.
I don't think – he's not going to break into the 30s, I don't think.
He should. He probably should. I think if people were, you know, thinking about it properly, he should.
He's just one of those stinky vets that nobody wants.
Right.
I feel like JOK is going to jump up higher than 17. I feel like he's going to settle closer to that. He's going to be a top 15 guy.
I think so, too.
At 13, 14 range. And
see, I could actually see him falling a little bit because I think as Hicks is going to rise, yeah. I think it's going to knock just a little bit of the shine off of JOK.
I do like JOK. I do like him as a player. I just think that people are forgetting what it's been like to roster JOK over the last couple of years. He definitely looked great last year, but
he finished the season on fire.
Yeah, but some of these guys, man, it can be a bumpy ride. Just because you finish the year great doesn't mean that your next year is just a copy and paste.
In best ball, I think there are a few situations where I would just rather have the better player, even if it is at cost. Because once Hicks does kind of move up into that like mid-40s, I'll be fine to go JOK and Jordan Hicks, mm-hmm. but I'm fine to take JOK at cost. Because I think, and especially in best ball, this guy is a difference maker at linebacker. I don't think there's a lot of those guys. Yeah. So if he pushes up into like top 12 LB range, that's probably getting a little rich. But back half of the LB2 range, I'm okay with that.
I'm fine with it, yeah.
Let's move on, though, boys, to DB. There were actually some notable names that signed new deals. And let's kick things off with Dog Alert, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, reuniting with the Eagles, 3 years, $27 million. Rayshon Jenkins, Seahawks, 2 years, $12 million deal. Taylor Rapp, re-signed with the Bills, 3 years, $10.62 million. Cameron Curl, signed with the Rams, Bobo, 2 years, $9 million. Jordan Whitehead, signed with the Bucks, 2 years, $9 million. Chuck Clark, back with the Jets, 1 year, $2 million. Von Bell, back with the Bengals, 1 year, $1.2 million. And then Jordan Fuller, signs with the Panthers on a one-year deal. Let's start right at the top there, Addy, with your boy, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, back with the Eagles. How you feeling about the fit there in Philly?
You feel good. Yeah, I mean, we saw him have his best fantasy year of his career when he was with Philly. I guess it was 2 years ago at this point. So, yeah, I mean, he's going to have to make plays. You know, but that's what he does. That's C.J. Gardner-Johnson. So
it's going to be Reed Blankenship, Sidney Brown probably not going to start the season.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson should get plenty of slot snaps, should get plenty of box snaps. So usage should be really good there. And then, yeah, I mean, he's a playmaker. Bad linebackers in front of him, so, I mean, they definitely need him to
be cleaning up a lot of messes.
Yeah. I really like the Rayshon Jenkins addition, though. Seattle, that just feels like it's going to work out, you know.
Yep.
I can just see him now. The dreads flying around.
Jamal Adams officially cut, right?
I think so.
Did he actually officially get cut?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so Jamal Adams, out the door.
Quandre Diggs cut as well.
So now it's
Love and Jenkins.
There you go. Love and Jenkins, yeah. That's a nice little combo.
Yeah.
I actually kind of like that better than who was it? Diggs and Jamal Adams.
Yeah. And you got Witherspoon in the slot. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a fun team.
Taylor Rapp's also a nice one, you know, re-signing with the Bills.
Both safeties cut. Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, both gone.
Taylor Rapp's snap percentage last year was crazy. He had three games. Actually, take that back. He had four games where he played 100% of the snaps. In those games, he had six tackles, seven tackles and a sack, eight tackles, and nine tackles. Games basically bookending those, he had 19 snaps, 12 snaps, 33 snaps, 13% of the snaps. So I think it's very indicative that they had Jordan Poyer on a high cap number. They had Micah Hyde that was healthy some of the season. And Taylor Rapp just didn't play a whole lot. But I agree with you. The more I've kind of thought about the Taylor Rapp signing, the more optimistic I am that the 5.7 points per game was lower than I expected to be for 24. I think Taylor Rapp could really push that 10, 11 points per game this year. And I, you know, DB 167, it'd be interesting to see his ADP right now. DB 113, yes, please. I'll take that.
Yeah, great late target. Let's talk about your Rams, Bobbo.
Yeah.
Cam Curl going to the Los Angeles Rams. I love the landing spot. I am shocked that Washington let him get away, especially when you see the price, 2 years, $9 million. Colts, why the hell weren't we in on this as well? Julian Blackman still in the wind. I don't know. I really was hoping that there was some linkage with Curl and the Colts, but ends up going to your Rammies.
Yeah, a lot of smarter guys than me. Love Cam Curl going into last year, and you know, we all saw the talent. We all saw the ability that Cam Curl had coming down into the box and making big plays and everything. And even coming off of what I feel like is a bad year, his 23 finish, DB 34, and he finished with 10.9 points per game. I will be honest, I'm normally never in on a lot of the Rams defensive backs, not necessarily corners, but safeties. We haven't really had a good one in a while. John Johnson, whatever. Jordan Fuller's been there. Taylor Rapp. Now we have Quentin Lake that I'm hoping that they kind of put him in that Witherspoon category to where we play him out of the slot. But absolutely, man, I can't help but find myself getting into the Cam Curl camp for 2024.
Yeah, still going too high, though. DB 22.
Yeah, it's too rich.
Finished as DB 34. Addy, we out love here simping Cam for DBs. Uh-huh. Yeah.
They love old Cam and Curl.
And especially now, I mean.
Oh, this is going but wheels the hell up now.
DB 12.
So? He will 100% be a top 12 safety.
So, interesting. I remembered this from the conversation in Slack. Tripp posted a tweet from Jordan Rodriguez saying that the Rams officially announced their signing of safety Cam Curl, and already things are intriguing because they are not referring to him as a safety in their announcement, but more broadly as a DB. And him and Mike were speculating, is he getting the Jalen Ramsey role, the star role?
That would be sick.
It's just something to pay attention to as far as how is Cam Curl going to be used in this Rams defense.
He might play linebacker because... Mm-hmm.
Who's
I mean,
there?
So far this offseason, the Rams have been quiet outside of Ernest.
And now you got AD gone. So yeah, yeah. Does that? I haven't looked to see what that does to y'all's cap situation.
Yeah, I was looking at that earlier, and prior to his retirement, they did some restructuring of his cap, and I'm not smart enough to know upon retirement how much of his cap he actually got paid for 2024, if any of it. I think we're still like top 10. I think we've got 25 million
y'all had
or so
some
in
cap space. Yeah. Surprised y'all weren't in on some of these free agent linebackers.
It is strange, or even like another edge. I think DJ's latest mock today had Latu to us there.
That'd
think
be
at
nice.
Like 19 is what our pick is. So
yep.
It's a pretty big need now.
Okay.
Jordan Whitehead was another nice one.
Returning
to Tampa Bay. That's a good one.
You're a Whitehead fan as well there, Addy.
I like Whitehead. He wasn't that good in Tampa Bay. You know, he didn't play as many snaps as he was gonna get in New York, but
11.2 points per game, DB 33 finish, but going as DB 66.
Yeah.
So
he's a value in the best ball.
Still
balls for
nice
sure.
value.
Someone that I'll have a little bit of. Mm-hmm.
But what about Von Bell going back to the Bengals? Just screwing up our Jordan Battle shares.
Yeah, Bengals hate us that play IDP.
Why do you do that to us?
What if it's just depth though? Bell was pretty bad last year. 6.9 points per game. I just don't know how many snaps Von Bell is
going to
play.
But going back to the same coaching staff, that's what worries me.
Yeah.
Is that they are familiar with this guy.
Sure.
You've got two safeties that should, in theory, be able to hold down those two jobs, and you bring back Von Bell. It could be depth, but it is worrisome.
And also, it's like I've seen a lot of chatter about, well, maybe Dax Hill or Jordan Battle will be playing the slot now. What about Mike Hilton?
Yeah.
One of the best slot corners in the league.
Yeah, I don't think that job's for sale.
You know, so I don't know. It scares me to death. Mm-hmm. I wake up
cold sweat. I think that's what you're eating, Eddie. I think it's your diet. Last one here, Jordan Fuller is Panther now. I'm just kind of interested in a lot of the guys going to the Panthers because they had such a mass talent exodus.
Yes.
That the guys walking in here as veterans are going to have a chance to play. And I don't know. It's, for me, it is a nice late DB target and doesn't have to be sexy. But you saw a decent little finish, 10 points per game, DB 37, going as DB 76 right now. I'll take that value all day, Bobo.
That's going to be a bad team.
Very bad. They could be the number one overall pick again.
Oh. Any good college quarterbacks coming out next year?
No, it is a bad class.
Is it really?
Yes, it really is. It's like Shedeur Sanders is the number two guy right now.
Yeah. Oh, so. Colorado.
Is this Carolina defense the worst defense in the league?
I mean, who's
Derrick Brown? Yeah.
Their best defensive player is Derrick Brown. J.C. Horn? Okay.
Yeah, Horn.
Okay.
He's been getting hyped up forever, though, and it's kind of been meh.
He's been hurt. But, I mean, who else is there? Name. So, linebacker-wise.
Yeah, now it's Josie Jewell. Shaq Thompson.
And Shaq Thompson.
Both vets.
Josie Jewell.
Boy,
it's bad.
He's going to be nuts.
He could put up.
He could have 200 tackles.
Absolutely. I was about to say it. Glad you said it first.
Well, what he did whenever he was with Evro in 2022, he was top five in points per game as a linebacker.
The key when drafting Jewell is going to be you've got to take the injury stuff into perspective because with how much he's about to play, the odds of him getting hurt are pretty high.
I took him in the seventh round of a recent.
That's fine.
IP only best
going as fine. LB 44, ADP of 109.
He has the ability to be a top 12 linebacker at the end of the year.
Yes, if he could stay healthy. That's a big, big.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, question mark, but absolutely has that ability.
Yeah, and then safety. I mean, what? It's Xavier Woods.
Yeah.
And now Jordan Fuller. So, yeah, this is a very, very bad defense. And then offense, you know, we already know about it.
I didn't think we were going to go into the 24 season with DJ Wonnum being the edge one for a team in the NFL.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Boy, DJ won him back in our lives in a big way.
And then Caleb Von Chase on, too. It's hilarious. It's a hilarious team, honestly.
From Jacksonville to Carolina.
Yeah. Him and I always get him and Yetur Gross-Matos mixed up because we love both those guys coming out, and they both just face planted.
Yeet's still, I don't know. I hadn't, ship's still in the harbor.
If he's had a real regular name, you would already have forgotten about this guy.
No.
Yetur Gross-Matos keeps him, as you said, Yetur Delicious-Matos. Keeps this guy relevant and interesting.
I said that.
Yes, you did. I think you texted it in our thread with John. So,
all right.
Delicious Matos.
Good deal.
Yeah, good deal. Good job by me. Good job by me. All right. Well, that is the round two of free agency recap. If you are watching on YouTube, be sure to check out the video of the rookie redraft with John. We are going to wrap up this video here, so make sure you jump over to that. We'll put the link in the description. But if you're listening to the audio podcast, stay tuned, because after the ad break, we are going to be back talking 2023 rookies with John Macri, so don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Don't touch it now.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, we're back, and as promised, we are redrafting the 2023 rookie class with best friend of the show from PFF, from north of the border. It is everyone's fourth favorite Canadian, John Macri. John, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. Slipping slowly down the rankings in as far as Canadians go. I appreciate that. It's understandable. There's a lot of respectable Canadians, or at least a handful of them. So, I'm happy to be back. I'm happy to be redrafting the 2023 rookie class with you guys. But more importantly, just happy to be hanging out virtually in the So Shack with y'all. Very, very happy.
Yeah, always good to have John back on. We are going to be redrafting the 2023 rookie class. This is always a fun exercise. exercise before we really and truly get into this year's rookie class to look back on how the value has changed for last year's class. So we're going to go through. We have our XFFL draft results. That's the league that all of us are in. We're using that kind of as our board, and we'll see how things have changed. We've also got some notable undrafted free agents. The lineup is going to be John, Bob, myself, and then Adam, and then it will snake back. And we'll do a recap at the end of each round to see how the board shakes out differently. So, John, why don't you kick us off with the 101 of the 2023 rookie redraft? Who are you going with?
All right. I was thinking about pivoting different from what we did. We had 101, Bijan Robinson, obviously, in the draft last year. I think I'm just going to stick with that. I feel pretty good in Bijan Robinson still as the 101. Still a big believer in the talent. Not much that happened last year really deterred me from him. I think if Arthur Smith was still there, then I might feel differently. But you got Raheem Morris coming in. You got Kirk Cousins at quarterback. I have to imagine that this offense is just going to be more conducive to fantasy production and overall production, really. So pretty happy with grabbing Bijan still at the 101 and hoping that touchdown production specifically improves and that his opportunities around the goal line improve as well.
Well, Bobo, I don't think you're going to be too upset about this because that leaves you with probably your 101 at the 102.
It does leave me with my 101 here at the 102. You're right, Josh. And at the 102, I'm taking Puka Nacua.
Are you?
Absolutely. Ooh. Boy, get him here at two. I was worried John was going Puka at one, to be honest with you. And I know y'all are some RB loving fools, and that's fine. There's some place for RBs here in the SoShack.
I figured Puka was probably going top four, but Puka, not surprised to see him here at two.
I mean, best wide receiver rookie campaign of all time. It's hard to look away from that. This is a gift at three. Because you absolutely know what to do here. So I'm going to assume that your next pick here is going to be Jahmyr Gibbs.
Jahmyr Gibbs,
okay,
yes.
Okay, so let's play the inverse here. I had gone Jahmyr. You going Puka at three?
I'm going Puka at three. Okay. Absolutely.
I just kind of want to know where y'all value him at.
Yep.
Addy, you concur?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so it is gone Bijan, Puka, and Jahmyr Gibbs. Addy, you are on the clock with 104 and 105.
Still some really nice talent here.
I think so, too.
A lot of them all kind of right together, though. Mm-hmm. I think Sam Laporta sticks out a little bit.
I agree.
Let's go ahead and get Sam Laporta.
All right.
Have to love what he did in year one, tethered to a really good offense. Feel really good about him. And then it's just tough here. You know, do you go A-Chain? Do you go Jordan Addison?
Yeah.
Do you go Tank Dell?
Look at that smirt.
I go Jordan Addison, baby.
You're not worried about the QB stuff?
No, I'm not.
You think they're trading up to get
McCarthy? I think they're about to get somebody good.
J.J. McCarthy?
I think, and I think he's going to do pretty well there.
Yeah, he can sling it. Kevin O'Connell knows what he's doing.
He can mask a lot of the issues.
Yep. Good offensive coordinator. You know, you got good talent. I agree. I have been concerned over the last couple of days about J.J., but the more I've thought about it, I think it's smart to move on from Kirk. And if they take McCarthy at four, if they're able to move up to do some type of deal like that, I'm okay with it.
Love me some Jordan Addison, dude. I thought he was awesome.
I'm debating right here. I'm looking Devon Achane, Tank Dell.
Rasheed Rice.
Yeah, Rasheed Rice is definitely in play. I'm going to go Tank Dell. Just because I think that team is a team on the rise.
Just because you got him on your team.
I do. I want to just affirm myself taking him at, what was he, like the third?
312.
Yeah,
312. Good job by Josh.
Hey, damaged goods.
He's already back. He's already back from the old broken leg.
That's what they say. Yeah. And he's ahead of schedule.
Don't be mad about it. Don't be mad about it. Bob, you're up at the 107. What are you thinking here?
It's interesting here that Quentin Johnston was just, this was standard ADP for him last year. If you were in this range, you were in QJ range. And
will he even go in the first round?
Nah. I would doubt it.
He'll go in the second because, I mean, he's the only wide receiver left standing in LAC
Josh
right now.
Josh is trying to take him for his next pick. Look at him.
He's trying to prep the table. As much as I loved the production that I saw last year out of Zay Flowers, I still want to revert a little bit back to the college production, the tape, the route running from Jackson Smith and Jigba. I think I'm going to take JSN here.
Okay.
I think that even though that the Lockett deal, I know there was like a restructure, maybe it was an extension with Lockett for like another 3 years.
It was a restructure, right?
So maybe it was a cap deal.
Because he was possibly getting cut.
Yeah, that was them probably saying, you're getting cut.
Yeah.
Or we'll yeah, give you, we'll redo this contract.
I'm very happy betting on JSN here in this spot. So that was a nice pick for sure.
All right. Well, you are up with the 108, yeah. I believe, and 109. So what are you thinking?
I'm going to stick wide receiver here.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with Rashee Rice.
Okay.
Just again, another guy that I just liked a lot what he did as a rookie. I know it's Kansas City's offense. I know they brought in, you know, Hollywood Brown, but I still think Rashee Rice will command targets and at a high rate the way he was. He's just kind of a perfect fit for that offense and how they operate. Just really good yards after the catch and operating against zone defenses. So I'm happy with Rashee Rice, and I would take him. And then my next pick, who do I got here? I'd probably go Devin Achane. I'd be happy with him. Just again, another guy, speed, efficiency as a rookie, perfect offense for him to kind of thrive. Even with Raheem Mostert there, another guy that's getting up there in age. I just love that game breaking ability, right? For fantasy purposes. I mean, you could find guys that get you 9 to 11 fantasy points per game.
Never forget.
What Achane did last year.
Totally threw him for a loop.
Oh God. What Achane did last year, like, again, you get those weak winning games out of him, right? He is averaging, I think, 17 points per game as a rookie in that offense and not even being the clear number one. That's more rare. And that's, I think I'm willing to take a swing to get that here at that 109 range.
All right. So Rice and Achane go off the board there at 8 and 9. So, Bobo, it is back to you at 110.
Yeah.
Still some good talent left on the board. What are you thinking there?
All right, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stay offense. We're going to go Zay Flowers.
Okay.
I talked about it last time, right before maybe taking JSN. Zay Flowers showed to have a little bit of rapport there with Lamar Jackson, and that's not something that that a lot of wide receivers have shown over the years. You know, it's always been Lamar and Mark Andrews. And now maybe if it is Zay Flowers and that offense kind of continues, I like him to kind of flourish, and I like him to kind of be maybe a wide receiver too for us going into 2024.
And you grow flowers. You are the flower guy. It all just fits
hashtag
together
flower
beautifully.
Guy.
You'd love to see it. You love to see it.
It's like you didn't have a choice at all in that.
No, you were destined to take Zay Flowers.
That's beautiful, yeah, right there, brother.
110.
Yeah, I was chosen.
So, okay, so Zay Flowers goes from 107 to 110, and
Josh's
Anthony
QB.
Richardson is going from the 106 to the 111. For me, my last pick of the first round.
Nice.
And Adam, that puts you back up.
Beautiful at mind
the
here
112.
At the turn.
Okay. I think we have an obvious pick here, and it's IDP, boys.
Yeah, baby.
It's time.
Yeah, is it time?
Mr. William Anderson Jr.
I love it. I love it. That's beautiful. Now a first round pick in basketball drafts as well.
It made Adam laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right. He isn't. He's what? He's being picked like top 10?
Back of the first.
Much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and then let's go.
Well, let's pause here and recap the
first round
and just kind of see where we're at, how things changed. Not really that much different. I mean, you look at Puka Nacua is obviously the one that jumped the highest. Laporta jumped up from 209 to 104. Tank Dell from 312 to 106. Rashee Rice from 205 to 108. And then the rest of the guys were first rounders. Robinson, Gibbs, Addison, Smith and Jigba, Achane, Zay Flowers, Richardson, and Will Anderson. So does this feel about right, John, for the seal to be broken on IDP around 112 in a redraft?
I'm good with that. Yeah, especially Will Anderson, right? Like, it might not be the case in every draft, but Will Anderson definitely earned it. I think he put a lot of encouraging stuff out there as a rookie, obviously won Defensive Rookie of the Year too. So yeah, very happy with it. I'd be good there.
All right. There you go.
I agree. There, I think that may be the pick of the draft. Maybe the best value of the draft.
It's what people are saying.
A lot of people.
Canadians and Americans.
Saying exactly
Streets
that.
Are tall.
So, multiple countries.
All right. Let's see. 201 here, boys. I just had it. Okay. Dalton Kincaid.
Oh, you monster.
Yeah. There you go.
You freaking monster.
Feels like the pretty big drop off, though. Oh, no. Oh, there's some other ones there, though. I can. Yeah.
QJ's still
no, I'm
there.
Fine. Let's do Dalton Kincaid.
If
Let's go with the
go
double tight ends.
It, you
I got the league cornered at tight end.
Congratulations on a onesie position cornering the market.
On tight end premium.
Yes. Absolutely not.
Y'all are in trouble.
We should have mentioned this is a one QB premium.
Adam
PPR
in the second
start 11 offense. No,
I
defense.
Admit it is not. It is definitely
it
not.
It is but, not tight end premium.
Still.
Could be
cool if it was.
You never know.
Could you imagine?
Just think about it. All right, so, oh, you threw me for a loop, Addy. I had just Dalton Kincaid lined up perfectly there. I mean, Quentin Johnston probably should be in consideration here, but he's not. I'm going Jaden Reed at the 202.
That's who I was thinking about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that a lot. I think Jordan Love is legit. I think this Packers team is going to be pretty darn good. Sorry to all the NFC North fans out there that aren't Packers fans, but I think this team's, I think it's a lot like the Texans in the NFC where it's young QB, team on the rise, a lot of really good young blue chip guys, and Jaden Reed's definitely up there as far as blue chip guys. So
no worries that Love could turn back into a pumpkin potentially.
I'm not worried about Love, no. If he going that route where he got to sit and learn and develop, I don't worry as much about him, turning back into a pumpkin. I think he's going to be all right.
League's got tape on him now, Josh.
That's true. That is true. All right. So back over to Bob at 203.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going here, Bob?
Well, I'm glad you did what you did, Josh, and you left C.J. Stroud for me.
There you go.
C.J. Stroud will be my quarterback for the draft.
So from the 301 to the 203, we should mention, Jaden Reed jumped up from 208 to 202. So the two top QBs are off the board, and that leaves John with a couple back-to-back picks here at 204 and 205. So what you thinking, John?
Yeah, it's a little trickier here, but we are DT required league.
Yes, we are.
We are an IDP podcast over here, so we're going to bring back another IDP, Jalen Carter.
Wow.
I love me some Jalen Carter.
Well done.
DT2 for me in Dynasty, just a ridiculous rookie year as well. I know you just look at the sacks, though they were fine, 6 sacks, but 89 PFF grade, 5th, 85.9 pass rush grade, 6th, tied for 2nd in quick pressure rate, 9.9%, 17.7% pass rush win rate as well, which was 6th. Ridiculous numbers for his position as a rookie. I am going Jalen Carter here for sure.
Fletcher Cox gone.
Yep.
It's going to be a lot of 60 to 70% of snap percentages.
Is he your Dynasty DT1?
He might be two. I think I've waffled back Quinnen. And forth. I think I put Quinnen back up there. I think I definitely had Jalen Carter there for
day or two.
A stretch.
You flirted with it.
Yeah,
you
I think we talked about it on the show. But he's two.
All right, John, you're up back up at 205. You went with Jalen Carter at the 204. What you thinking here with your next pick?
Yes, the next one, it's probably between Josh Downs and Tajay Spears for me. Quentin Johnston maybe, but I don't know. I like Tajay Spears. I know they brought Tony Pollard in. I'm going to go Tajay Spears. I like him. I think, you know, PPR league as well. I think he's still going to command some targets there as a receiving down back and less on the load for Pollard a little bit. I think he could still be effective. It is what it is at this point in rookie drafts. You're looking for guys that you can play in your flex at this point or starting IDPs. So I'm good with Tajay Spears still.
All right, Bobo, Minnesota. Over to you at the 206.
Y'all have mentioned his name a couple times, and I'm going to go ahead and go Josh Downs.
Okay.
I don't know that he has a long dynasty career, but if he can develop a little bit of rapport with Anthony Richardson, a lot of the routes and stuff that he runs is around the line of scrimmage. Seems like he creates really good separation, which I feel like he did at UNC when he was in college. He has 2 games of over 10 targets last season. He actually started kind of returning a couple punts and kicks later on towards the end of the year. And if they could get him integrated into that a little bit more, it would be even a little bit more fun. But I don't know. I don't know what the Colts do at wide receiver this offseason. I don't know if they add somebody. I'm not so sure the whole Alec Pierce experiment is working out. So I don't know. I like Josh Downs. I think he is better than what I thought he was going to be coming into the NFL. But here at the back end of the second, I'm okay throwing a dart on him.
Yeah, I think who was it? The underdog guys were doing a revised mock draft today, post free agency mock draft, and they were discussing possibly Brian Thomas Jr. for the Colts at 15.
Yeah,
I think in both of the ones I've watched recently, it's been Quinyon Mitchell, the cornerback from Toledo there, which look I love as well.
Yeah.
I think it makes a lot of sense. Chris Ballard loves freaky athletes. This guy's like a 99th percentile RAS or a kind of a speed score guy, so I could see Chris Ballard wanting to take a swing on a guy like that, especially at a position of need. Mm-hmm. But I commented on the video, like, we need one more receiver. So I love the idea of potentially going offense there at 15 rather than like a Cooper DeJean or a Quinyon Mitchell. So
who would y'all get, though? I mean, with the big three you're off, who would you want?
I think Brian Thomas Jr. would be a great, great fit there. So, all right. I'm on the board at 207. And, man, this is tough because QJ is still sitting there on the board. He is the only wide receiver in Los Angeles right now.
Like Josh Palmer.
Yep.
But I am going to go with Zach Charbonnet, running back Seattle. I love Kenneth Walker. I think he's a very good running back. But I think Charbonnet is very good as well. So give me Charbonnet, who was the 201 there at the 207. So, Addy leaves you 208, 209 to take Tommy DeVito at the 208.
With him, Spoon.
With him, Spoon. Wow. All right. Wow, look at you, Addy. Let's see. I got to find him. He was all the
That's
way down
PFA.
Here. It is. It's just a alpha establishing dominance.
Yeah.
We know that.
That's right. CB1. Yeah, CB1, folks.
He was a UDFA. He's your DB4, is that right? No, where
DB4
is
DB4 and, best ball.
Okay, there you go.
DB5, maybe. I think I might have branch 4.
John, what do you think about that? What do you think about having, just as far as DB ranks, with him Spoon?
And of course, this is big three scoring.
Yes,
so
yeah. Big play.
4 points for every PD, you know. Sacks are weighted heavy. Tackles not so much. But, with him Spoon just stuffs the stat sheet.
Yeah, so he was really good last year, obviously. I think, DB-wise, it's probably between him and Brian Branch for me in this receiver or in this rookie class. So I don't mind him. I don't mind him being the first DB off the board. And, you're taking shots here, right? You're taking shots with other guys, at least Witherspoon, more of a kind of a guaranteed starter for you, at least in your fantasy lineup every week, where the rest of these guys probably filling out bench, obviously, more valuable positions, but at the same time, if you want starters, you take a shot.
Yeah, what's nice about Witherspoon is you can plug him directly into your starting lineup. And a lot of these guys, we're getting to that point in the draft where it's like, how many lineups are you sticking, Spears, Downs, Charbonnet into? Maybe, I guess, depending on the depth of the league, but Witherspoon slots right in. That's the nice thing about going IDP.
For the next 4 years.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Same thing with Jalen Carter. I think he's in maybe not an auto start, but pretty damn close in 2024.
And I think he's going to thrive there with Mike McDonald coming over. I think he's going to continue to play that slot role there. The question is, will he hold up, because he is, you got to be physical at that position. And he is a little undersized, so that's really the only question mark. But, homie's a dog.
He is a dog. He's on the dog Mount Rushmore, especially for DBs.
Certainly is. So, that's an easy one for me. And then I'm going to go still some solid talent, though, right here. Jack Campbell, Kendre Miller, Michael Myers is still out there.
Michael Myers. The killer from the Halloween franchise still on the board, folks.
I think I'm going to go with old QJ, though.
Okay.
We're gonna bet that him being the only person in the room is going to get him a ton of targets next year, and then we're probably going to sell him.
Can't wait till they draft two wide receivers in the first round.
That's probably, That is probably.
You're definitely drafting wide receiver.
Especially there, what are they, at 5?
Yeah, seeing a lot of neighbors get mocked to him, Rome get mocked to him.
Yep.
So.
Very juicy.
Brock Bowers was getting mocked to him. That's a little high, though, for him. Yeah, maybe they trade back. Like, we could see that happening.
We are here at 210. You got me thinking Brian Branch now.
Yeah.
I'm going Brian Branch. I just think, again, plug-and-play starter. Brian Branch is not coming out of your lineup. Maybe a little rich, but especially in CB-required leagues, give me a starter here at 210.
That's right, because he will remain a CB in RS. Like in our league, we base it off of alignment. PFF alignment.
Yep.
And And so, yeah, Brian Branch is actually going to continue to be a cornerback in there because he played, what, mainly slot last year? Like 90% of his snaps were at slot, maybe more than that.
Is that right, John?
Yeah. He was mostly slot.
There you go. All right. So QJ and then Branch go at 209, 210.
Damn, 406 in last year's draft. What a value.
What a value. That shows if you can hit on one of those like safety DBs.
Yeah.
Like those typically go in like
picks. I mean, honestly,
late third, fourth. It's a huge value because you see how these guys jump.
Could be a Tyler Newbin this year.
Tyler Newbin. All right, Bob, back to you at 211. What are you thinking?
So I'm going to go to the IDP whale. I'm going to get away from offense. And I'm not taking Ivan Pace. I'm going to take defensive tackle out of Tampa Bay, Kalijah Kancey.
Okay.
Kancey, I'm kind of hot in the pants for a little bit, especially since the AD retirement. We've kind of had to shift gears in a couple leagues and try to plan for the future.
And it's been a bad week for Bob.
You know, if you're if you got to replace somebody, if you got to replace Aaron Donald, you might as well replace him with the guy who was comp to Aaron Donald coming out of college. And I mean, no kidding, Kalijah Kancey, 4 sacks on the season. I think he had a sack and a half in the postseason, was playing 60 to 70% snaps a lot of that time. I like Kancey a lot. I really, really do. I think Kancey could enter that top 7, top 8 DT kind of conversation here in 2024. I like the way he plays. I don't know, man. I'm a Kancey guy.
Hey, you don't got to convince me. He is my DT6 in Dynasty.
Yeah, that feels right. That's just some potentially, like, I mean, how often do you see 2 top 5 defensive tackles for IDP come out of the same class?
That's not mentioning Kobe Turner.
Yeah, Kobe Turner. You, we'll see what Brian Brisee turns into in New Orleans. Just some really good defensive tackle.
Oh, well, life's about to get a lot harder for old Kobe Turner. Yeah, sure. I'll say that.
Yeah. It's a lot more pressure on
Byron
him
Young.
Byron Young. Right. They got to bring back Michael Hoyt now. Michael
Hoyt. They're going to put him inside, I heard.
Adam's just doing the whip sound now. All right, John, take us home for the second round with the 212.
All right, let's go. I think everybody that I wanted is pretty much gone here. Yeah, Jaden Reed's gone, right? All right, you know what? Let's take a shot on Jack Campbell. Obviously, you know, last year we got stuck behind Anzalone. We'll probably still be stuck behind Anzalone, but God, there's only so long, right, that they could stick with him as the full-time starter. I don't know. I mean,
I heard they're talking extension.
I know. Probably will.
They're just going to lock him up for life. He's the retired jersey in the Ring of Honor.
Good.
Hey. Yeah. I'll go Jack Campbell. I got to bet on him getting a chance here in the near future. Whether it's this year or not, I don't know. But I always like Jack Campbell as a prospect, and I think he could be a nice fit once he gets that starting job and be productive. So, yeah.
Okay. So let's recap here. Dalton Kincaid, Jaden Reed, C.J. Stroud, Jalen Carter, Tyjae Spears, Josh Downs, Zach Charbonnet, Devon Witham, Spoon, Quentin Johnston, Brian Branch, Kalijah Kancey, and Jack Campbell. So big risers from this round were, of course, Devon Witherspoon, UDFA in our draft, jumping up to 208, Brian Branch 406 to 210, and Kalijah Kancey 504 to 211. And then at the start of the round, we also had CJ Stroud going from 301 to 203, and Jalen Carter going from 302 to 204. So couple big-time risers in that round, just like the first round. John, you are up again at the 301. Take it away to kick off the third round.
Yeah, I'm up again. I'm trying to think if I should go with my head here and take a smart pick, or if I go for the brand, I'm going to draft Ivan Pace at 301 here.
Love it.
We love that.
Yeah, I'm still a believer. I think he's going to overcome. Maybe not right away. But again, you know, Blake Cashman, he's been Blake Glassman for most of his career. Been unable to stay on the field. Ivan Pace is going to get his opportunities again, and just so damn productive and looks so good when he's on the field. So, I'm going to continue to rock the Ivan Pace train here.
I mean, he does have
Blake Glassman,
yeah.
Already bitter. Already just upset about it.
You should have just gone with Blake Glassman and just like Blake
Glassman. That's great. There you go.
There you go. That one's free, John. You can put that on the next Yeah, break Glassman. All right, 301 goes Ivan Pace Jr. I mean, we knew John was going to do that at some point, but I don't think it's a crazy pick.
That's fine.
At this point in the draft, maybe a little crazy, but that's okay. That's what we like. We like chaos.
Got to get your guys.
Who was that?
Everybody.
Everybody.
All those idiots out there.
Adam's impersonation of everybody.
You got to get your... It's about having fun. Shut up!
I'm definitely clipping that one. That's a lot of fun. Thank you, Adam.
That's the intro.
All right, Bob, over to you for 302.
Yeah, my 302 is going to be the movie man himself, Michael Mayer.
You guys are blowing my brains out.
He's fallen far enough. And, you know, even if it is Gardner Minshew, maybe it's only that for a year. It does sound like Vegas and Pierce want to get it right at the position. As far as quarterback, I'm not so sure that Minshew is what they're really going to roll out. I think there's been a couple little, you know, off-season tidbits about they've kind of been interested in maybe moving up, maybe moving up for a quarterback. You know, even if they do roll out Minshew, they're going to be bad this year. They can maybe get a quarterback next year. But I don't know. I think Meyer has some upside.
I am between a couple of guys here. So let's go Marvin Mims. The original 303 sticks right in there. At the 303, and we roll forward onto Addy at the 304. Addy, what you thinking, baby?
Boy, it's getting down into it.
Starting to thin out just a wee bit.
Yeah, I don't like it at all. Let's go with Kendre Miller here.
Okay.
Feels like some good value here at the, 304. Got to figure that his time is coming eventually with AK. I think being 29 now, figure AK probably has this year, but... Kendre Miller should get his opportunity, I think. Definitely more opportunity in year two. So I'm fine with him there. And then I guess let's go. This is tough. There's a lot of these guys like in the same range, like Tyree Wilson, Will McDonald.
Yeah. The linebackers are kind of stinky at this point.
Right. Drew Sanders, you know, we thought that was going to be somebody that was going to be a nice asset for us in Dynasty, but it sounds like he's going to be playing on the edge now.
So we got another Zaven Collins situation.
Yep. Without the draft capital.
Yep.
Let's go with Tyree Wilson.
Okay.
Let's bet.
You slotted him right in from where you took him in XFFL, 305.
Nice.
305 to 305.
We're just betting that he was not right. He missed all of training camp, but he was
forced into action because Chandler Jones lost his mind.
Right. But I think he showed improvement as the year went on. I think the PFF numbers also show that. So, it also sounds like Max Crosby is taking him under his wing. He's been...
I thought you were going to say Max Crosby is taking control of the organization, and I was going to say I agree.
He is, I mean, think.
Basically getting Antonio Pierce hired, or you have to trade me.
Right.
That was a flex this offseason.
Have you noticed like some of the pictures that Max Crosby posts? They're like mafia-looking pictures.
I have not, but...
Like, he's always smoking cigars, and he's, like, dressed up, and he's talking about family and stuff in the captions.
He's talking about family.
And everyone's... No one's smiling. Cigars. No one's smiling.
That does sound reminiscent of, like, mafioso kind of vibes.
I mean, whatever.
Whatever.
Just wish he wouldn't do it. I don't like that stuff.
I don't like that stuff. We don't want him to be mob-connected, John.
Yeah, he's just quoting the Fast and the Furious movies, I think.
Pretty much.
I've got family.
Yeah.
I've got
family. It really is.
Back up to me, though, at the 306. And I'm glad this guy is still on the board. Kind of buried down there in the fourth round. We're going Trenton Simpson, the 306. From the 409 to the 306 linebacker there in Baltimore. Bobo, back over to you at the 307.
Okay. The 307 here is interesting. I'm going to go with a guy here that... I kind of like. I don't know if you have him here, Josh, but I'm going to go with old Hembig.
Okay.
Herbig showed enough for me last season that, you know, I don't know that he ever gets a starting role just because J.J. Watt there in front of him, Alex Highsmith, I believe, got an extension early last offseason. But as we know, T.J. Watt's been, you know, hurt over the last couple years from time to time. Herbig has shown that he can walk into that starting role and put some production up for us. So here in the third round, I'm looking for guys like Hembig, and he feels comfortable here. So we'll go with it.
Yeah, and I think either way, you can expect his role to increase,
yeah,
you know, no matter what. Because, yeah, I thought that he was impressive whenever he did get a chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think, John? Is that what did you see from Herbig in his rookie year? I think we saw some nice flashes. Obviously, two entrenched starters there in front of him. But if nothing else, does he slot in if Highsmith or TJ Watt gets injured?
Yeah, I think he's the next man up, right? And the team obviously relied like super heavily on on TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith, and they just have the past few years, right? But like you guys mentioned, like the Watt specifically has had injury problems. Herbig played well for sure while he was in there. He had a really great production profile coming out of college as well, or at least analytic profile. As far as his pass rush grades and everything, and even though he was, again, undersized guy, they were talking about him potentially playing off-ball linebacker, but just continued to look good in the NFL. So I like it for sure.
Okay, so there we go. And it is back over to you, John, for 308 and 309. So what you thinking here?
I'm back up. Let's see. Let's go. You know what? Let's take a couple running backs here. I'm gonna take some swings, guys that could be potential handcuffs for in season when, you know, if starters go down, we could plug these guys into lineups. I think there's some value there in Roschon Johnson and Tank Bigsby both. Obviously they didn't get a ton of opportunity, but DeAndre Swift in Chicago, he's also had some injury issues. You got Khalil Herbert there, so it could still end up being a mess, but I liked what we saw from Roschon Johnson, at least as a rookie in a limited role. And then Tank Bigsby just didn't get the opportunity. Travis Etienne obviously played every game and was a volume monster last year. But in the case that he goes down, I think there'll be a lot more value with Tank Bigsby. So at this point in the draft, that's where I'd be happy to take some value there.
All right. Couple running backs go off the board, Bobbo. Leaving you with the, I believe, what are we at now? 310.
So much similar to my last pick, I'm going to go with an edge here that was undrafted in Tuli Tuipulotu.
Look at you, Bobbo. Nailed it.
I really like Tuli. I really like what he showed us last year. I was really hoping that with the Chargers cap situation that we were going to see one of Khalil Mack or Joey Bosa released, traded, so that my boy Tuli could get some more PT. I don't know that that's going to be the case, but if it's not this year, I feel like it's going to be pretty soon that they move on from both of those guys.
Roschon Johnson, Tank Bigsby, Tuli Tuipulotu go off the board. I am going to bounce back to running back.
311. Come original, Josh.
I'm going to go with Chase Brown. 310. I do think Zach Moss is a pretty good running back, and I think he is going to be the primary back there in Cincinnati. But I think Chase Brown, talk about handcuffs, could be in for an increased role with Joe Mixon out the door.
A Canadian.
There you go. Even more reason to like that. So, all right, Chase Brown.
Did that bump John further down? John now might be five?
No. He might be six because Bobby already bopped him down one.
Oh, that's right.
So he's at six now.
Yeah. Dang.
Slowly sinking towards the end of the first round. Uh-huh. So, Addy, wrap up the third round, 312. Who are you going with here?
All right, let's go with someone I was talking about the last time I was up, Will McDonald.
Okay.
I think we're about to see Will McDonald break out. Should have much more opportunity. We know about Bryce Huff leaving town. Carl Lawson's out of there. Yeah, I'm expecting Will McDonald to ball out. And I thought he showed some flashes last year.
So what do you make of that D-line rotation now with Lawson and Bryce Huff out the door, John?
At least clears things up a little bit, right? Like usually one of those guys would be like a healthy and active. It was usually Carl Lawson last year, but it at least clears up some space, right? So Will McDonald, Jermaine Johnson, we saw Jermaine Johnson, you know, had a slow start in his rookie year, and then they worked him into a bigger role. I think the same thing can happen here for Will McDonald for sure in year two.
Let's recap here. On the third round, we went with Ivan Pace Jr., Michael Mayer, Marvin Mims, Kendre Miller. Who is this Wilson character? Tyree Wilson, Trenton Simpson, Nick Hembig, Herbig, Roschon Johnson, Tank Bigsby, Tuli Tuipulotu, Chase Brown, and Will McDonald. This didn't have as many kind of risers. We actually saw some fallers here. Kendre Miller was 109 going at the 304. Roschon Johnson and Tank Bigsby were second round picks now at near the end of the third. Will McDonald jumped up from 405 to 312. Tuli and Nick Herbig were both UDFAs that jumped up into the third round. So interesting round for sure. A lot of IDP. But this is where I think you're going to start to see more and more of that. So, Addy, take us away here at the 401.
Okay, I guess I'm going to go with the Arizona Cardinals wide receiver one, Michael Wilson.
Oh, Lord. It's
for now.
Yeah,
for now.
Pretty grim.
They're definitely going to bring in all the mocks have been saying Marvin Harrison Jr. for months. But even if that doesn't work out, you imagine they're going to get one of the big three. Not talking about us.
I was going to say, they get one of us. Adam, so one Josh of us gets traded. Yeah. Definitely want Adam. He's got that dog in him.
It's time.
Got a couple dogs.
But I thought Mike Wilson was good. He's a fine wide receiver two, wide receiver three in the offense.
Yeah.
I'm cool with it here.
Okay. I am up here at the 402, and I'm going to go back to the Packers well and go with Luke Musgrave. Get me a tight end. So let's go with Musgrave there at 402. Originally the 308 is back over to Bob for 403.
Yeah, so 403 here. Oh, boy.
There's a lot of, like, pretty decent edge rushers still on the board.
I'm not going to take an edge rusher here. I'm going to take my original heartthrob. I'm going to take Deion Henley.
Okay.
I'm going to hope that year two here for Henley. I'm going to hope that maybe this new regime, even though they did just bring in Perryman, I'm going to hope that Deion sees a little bit more PT than he did in his rookie year. I'm still optimistic about Henley. I think that maybe he's just a young linebacker, and we don't need to overvalue these guys too much. As we have here tonight, you know, I think we ranked him a whole lot better the last year or two than we have before. You know, there's just that rookie linebacker is just really difficult.
As I came out
with Mock 2.0 today, and I think I had Cooper and freaking Peyton Wilson at the back of the second, but they feel a little bit different. Peyton Wilson looks like a freak. And then I don't know how y'all feel about Edgerrin Cooper. Maybe I'm doing the same thing that I've
falling right back into the whiskey.
Yeah, Edgerrin, he scares me a little bit. He's like that type that we've fallen in love with.
Yeah.
How do you think that Chargers linebacker core shakes out now, John? Deion Henley, Denzel Perryman. How do you see that shaking out?
Yeah, I think Perryman bringing in definitely gives. I think he's probably the favorite for me of the group. It's really nobody, right? Like, I think Henley should get a shot. So I think he's got more potential than Nick Neiman or Troy Dye. I don't know why we wouldn't take a shot on him at this point, but I mean, Perryman feels like he'd be locked in compared to the rest of the group for sure. So if there's room for a second linebacker there with the Chargers, then yeah, Henley, I would bet on him for sure.
404, 405, John. Getting into the middle of the fourth now. Still some good IDP talent left on the board. So what you thinking here?
So yeah, it's interesting. One of my picks is going to be Miles Murphy, edge for the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm a Miles Murphy fan. I really liked him coming out. I think I had him as edge one, edge two behind Will Anderson, that is. Didn't get the opportunity in Cincinnati in year one, but man, Sam Hubbard has been the definition of mid as a pass rusher. I think his time is coming to an end there. I think there's going to be a place for Miles Murphy to move into the starting lineup sooner rather than later.
Okay, so Miles Murphy there at the 404, originally 306, so some nice value there, John. Who is your second pick at the 405?
Yeah, 405. I wanted to... it's either Kobe Turner or Bryce Young for me, I think. Let's go Kobe Turner. I'm going to go again, DP required leagues. I'm going to assume that I don't have one of the top defensive tackles, and I'm going to have now Jalen Carter and Kobe Turner.
Bob, back to you, 406.
Yeah. man, this is a really gross spot, is it not?
DeMarvion Overshown.
Part of me wants to take Byron Young here. I'm just a little skeptical. I'm a little worried about what life after Aaron Donald is going to look like for that defensive line there. So I'm going to take my guy that I originally drafted in the XFL just for the upside alone. I'm going to take Jalin Hyatt.
Okay.
Where are you going here, Joshy?
So I'm thinking I'm torn between a couple of edge rushers. I'm looking Nolan Smith and Yaya Diaby. We're going with Yaya Diaby, undrafted free agent in our draft, now moves into the 407. Thank you very much. We'll move on to Addy for 408 and 409. Take it away, Addy.
Okay. I'm going to continue going edge rusher here. Corner in the market, Lucas Van Ness.
Okay.
There we go.
I thought he was impressive. They gave him more opportunity as the year wound down. So you always like to see that. Now it may be tough for him getting snaps because that's a talented team, good rotation. You already have, you know, Rashawn Gary, who should be back fully healthy next year, a year removed from the ACL injury. Preston Smith is pretty underrated at this point. I think he's going to get 50-60% of the snaps. So Van Ness probably is going to be in that, you know, somewhere between 45-60, I'd say. But yeah, I mean, he had a great profile athletically and production wasn't there, but yeah, I feel good about him. I think we could see him have, you know, a 10 sack season at some point over the next 2-3 years.
Yeah, 3 sacks over the last 6 games for Van Ness, and honestly on a pretty low snap percentage. You know, the highest he really got to last year, he got to 49% in week 4. But most of the latter part of last year was 30% snap percentage. So you're right. I think he kind of fits in the same mold of like Herbig or like Thule for me. To where like there's guys in front of him.
But just be patient.
But I think that there's gonna be some more PT for these guys this year.
Right. Yeah, this feels like a 2025 and beyond type pick, right? Yep. You're gonna have to wait for it to clear out. But I do think it is gonna be him or Sean Gary.
Yep.
At some point in the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. All right. So, goodness. Should I just go with another edge rusher? I feel like at this point,
that's where the best talent, I think, is on the board right now.
I think so.
Offense could also is pretty well picked over. Unless you want the dynamic Carolina duo, Jonathan Mingo and Bryce Young.
Yeah, no.
Or the converted linebacker and Drew Sanders.
Gosh. All right. Let's go with Jonathan Mingo.
Oh, wow. I was just kidding.
I don't think I can go edge rusher for the fourth time.
Why not? For the brand, baby. You coward. You had a chance to
I wanted
great.
To go Nolan Smith, honestly.
Yeah.
But we'll go with Mingo here. Can't get worse.
I mean, don't spit in the sky, Eddie.
Deontay Johnson is there now. So, you know, that's probably not going to help the targets. But it's 4-10, boys.
Yeah.
You know.
409. 410 is now Nolan Smith. So thank you very much.
It's 4. It's 409, boys.
Yeah, 409. It's 10:14 right now, Adam. It's late. All right. So Bob, back over to you for 411. Final two picks here as we wrap up the fourth round.
All right. So I am going to take an IDP, and I'm going to take an IDP that was hurt most of last year, but somebody who has a pretty filthy RAS.
Marion Overshown.
I'm going to take Christian Gonzalez here, okay. Cornerback for the Pats. 9.95 RAS. Ran like a 4.4 at 6.2, 205. Christian Gonzalez had 2 big plays in the games that he was active in this past season before he got hurt. I really like Christian Gonzalez. He's been quite a value in a lot of these best balls, and I think I think he was a first round draft pick last year. I think you're going to see a whole lot more Christian Gonzalez in 2024.
Okay, so Christian Gonzalez at the 411. John, you're at 412. Last pick of the draft. Take us home, you beautiful 7th-ranked Canadian.
I might be the 8th-ranked one after this one, because I'm going to finally get Bryce Young off the board here and into the draft. It's at this point in the draft, looking to draft either high upside swings that, you know, are unlikely to pan out, or you're drafting production, and a starting quarterback is going to give you production if you need it. But we'll see. Well, hopefully year two is better and they got some weapons around him now, but still not optimistic, but you never know. Could work out.
Never know. That's the point of the draft, right? You never know.
That's right.
Never know. But maybe. It's the classic Addy. Probably not.
Turn that into a quote graphic.
Sometimes you
know. But maybe. So to wrap up here, fourth round recap, Michael Wilson, 401, Luke Musgrave, Deion Henley, Miles Murphy, Kobe Turner, Jalen Hyatt, Yaya Diaby, Lucas Van Ness, Jonathan Mingo, Nolan Smith, Christian Gonzalez, and Bryce Young.
Loaded first round.
Yes.
But then it really kind of falls off quite a bit. And yeah, you're right. I mean, we seem to always overvalue these IDPs every single year. Uh-huh. Get excited about guys where we shouldn't. But it's easy to do, man. I mean, we see these 9.98 RAS scores, you know. Mm-hmm. It seems like they land in good, spots. But, yeah, We're always thrown for some surprises when the season starts. We don't have a Will Anderson in this class. So, I mean, it feels like we're going to see our first IDP off the board later than we have in a while.
Yeah.
Like, this feels like I like this class IDP-wise, but it doesn't feel like elite at the top.
I mean, our most recent mock draft, I think it was Dallas Turner went at 207.
Mm-hmm.
So, late second landing spot, I think, will bump some of those guys up into like...
You went weird. What did you say?
Wasn't it 207 in our latest mock that we did?
Oh, yeah. Right.
So he slid a little bit from like 203 to 207.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these wide receivers jumped up. So I think this is a pretty heavy offensive draft. And so I think the value is going to be there. For me, it was kind of interesting that even with the benefit of hindsight, we got about like near the end of the second round and it was just like, all right, here we go. We're going to start throwing darts, right? Like after the Witherspoon pick, we go QJ, which was the big question mark. And then you got Branch and Kancey, Campbell, Pace, Michael Mayer. So like that tells me that it's a crapshoot. I mean, even here we are a year out with a lot of data on these guys and it still feels like a little bit of a crapshoot. So for me, the lesson is like, especially some of these later picks, I don't mind cashing out for veterans because at least we know what we have in these guys. And some of these third and fourth round rookies, it's like, maybe, but yeah.
Yeah. It's hard, right? Because even though it is like a full year of data, like a lot of these guys don't necessarily get that starting opportunity yet, right? So, and again, then you also factor in like just being rookies in the NFL and acclimating to much tougher competition and things like that. So it's hard to give up on guys. It's hard to get excited about guys. You know, there's a lot that kind of goes into it. So I get, you know, a lot of the, again, the hesitations and the question marks that we still had as we went through the latter half of this draft for sure. It just, I think it makes sense. I think it would happen pretty much every year.
Yeah. So there you go, folks. A 2023 rookie redraft, four rounds. As the great Sigmund Bloom said, it is never a better time to buy last year's draft class than as we approach the current year's draft. So if you like some of these guys, may be a good idea to put out some feelers as we approach the 2024 NFL draft. But John, thank you for coming back. It was good to see your beautiful face again. If folks haven't checked out the PFF Fantasy podcast, they should do so over on YouTube or their podcast player of choice. We were on there last week talking about free agent landing spots. John, what do you guys have coming up over on the podcast?
So I think we're recording again tomorrow. We're looking at just continuing the free agent reaction. There's been more moves and trades and stuff since the last time we recorded. And then starting next week, we're going to start doing the rookie profiles for offense and for the IDPs as well.
Yes,
getting the old gang back together. Kyle B, Joey the Tooth, and John Glosser talking the IDP rookies as well.
Good man.
Very good, man. Good hearts.
Hey, good people just seem to find each other.
Addy, you have said that a time or two. I'm going to put that on your tombstone here after this episode's over.
I appreciate that, Josh.
Yeah, so check out John's work. Make sure that you are subscribed over on the website, theidpshow.com. We just released our ADP 5 drafts in, and it's going to be updated weekly. Drafts are rolling out. I think you've got 13.
Yes, sir.
Fired up, Addy. So,
hey, if you ain't subbed, you're going to get your ass beat by someone that is.
Put that on a bumper sticker and sell it on theidpshow.com, folks. So make sure you check it out. Adam's ranks are over there at the ADP, so if you're going to be jumping into these best balls, the ADP and Adam's ranks in tandem are a great way to build your draft strategy. We also had Bobby's Mock 2.0 drop today around lunchtime, so make sure you check that out as well. We'll have an article from Mike Wollert looking at AFC coaching changes coming later in the week or early next week, so just all sorts of content over on the website, theidpshow.com. Subscribe for free today. Consider becoming a paid supporter, and next week, we will be back looking, speaking of winners and losers, John, at the fallout from free agency, the guys that did not move teams but were affected by those who did. So make sure to check that out, and then we'll start rolling on the rookie content as well. It is an exciting time of the offseason, nay, the on-season. So come on board, the IDP show. Come on board, PFF. We're going to take care of you all off-season. But until next time, y'all take care, and we'll see you soon.